This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Enterprise. FM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Tech Talk, and Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia is here with us. We're going to get a roundup of some of the interesting stories that have happened, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to start off with MyEG Services, and they launched a car portal to become the one-stop center for buying and selling cars, right? And can they compete with Muda.my and CatchesCarList.my?
Okay, that's a good question. I think they say that they want to be our, meaning not the Malaysian choice, the one-stop center for all Malaysians. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is when you mention, can they compete with them? Now, these two companies are internet-based and they're run by entrepreneurs, you know, from that space. Although, of course, Muda is actually owned by a Swedish company with Telenor in there and Singapore Press Holdings, but they've been around for a long time, and I think all of us have been buying cars, or many of us have been buying cars, so I'm just looking at cars on those two sites, correct? And now, surprise, surprise, you've got MyEG coming into the space and believing it can compete. And that's what's so interesting. You typically wouldn't see a traditional company, although MyEG's business is based on the internet, right? You do your license renewal and you know, you can do some other things online also. But here, the co-founder, T.S. Wong, thinks he can compete in this space because you already have a foot in the automotive world through your RTD connections and all, right? So he says, hey, why not? All he does is, I think he only paid like ₱1,000 last year. There was an announcement that they took over a company called CarX Services. So 80% owned by them now. And what's interesting is that the CEO of the portal, they're going to call it, it is called MyMoto, is a gentleman by the name of Philip Ng Keon. Philip is interesting because back in the days, 1998, before I had my email account even, I don't know if you had yours by then, 1998.
Yeah.
You did? Okay, I didn't. I only had mine in 99 or year 2000. Oh, 99 actually, yeah. That late, yeah. So anyway, so he founded Moto Trader magazine back then. And interesting enough, he sold it in 2011 to a Japanese company called Protocorp for ₱109 million. Yeah. So he obviously knows the automotive world from that journalistic point of view, right? He was a publisher of the magazine. So he's partnered with T.S. Wong now to do this. Now, they're positioning this as the hassle-free online platform to bring together buyers and sellers. And when they say one-stop, they say that they even will come to your house to look at your car and help you evaluate the car and help you get the best price for it. So lots of things. Just a vehicle financing, road tax, you know, ownership transfer. Now, some of this is done by second-hand car dealers. So Goten Yu, who wrote this piece, said, hey, aren't you then going to be marginalizing them, the middleman? And they says, no, the mantra nowadays is the consumer wants choice. If the car dealer can give a better service, why not? The consumer will choose them. If they prefer to use us and MyMoto, they'll use us. The business model is not really about, you know, advertising yet, because they only right now have 400 cars on the site versus the 100,000, you know, on CarList.
So they're trying to sell convenience.
They're trying to sell convenience and the fact that they're already a well-known name in the motoring space, right? So they hope to do that. So monetization is going to be listing fees where you charge for listing, and then valued services, VAS services.
Ancillary income.
Ancillary income, and then commission from successful transactions. So now, MyEG is a listed company. They don't, of course, this is going to be a small drag on its earning, a tiny drag, because you only got 5 people now. By the end of the year, Ng says that they're going to 15 people, and you got to invest to try to gain market traction and invest in branding also. But it's just interesting that you have a new entrant in this space, not intimidated by the fact that you got bigger, more established players here. And I think T.S. Wong really is looking at a 5-10 year horizon to make this work. So that's an interesting development there.
All right. And Magic, right, is partnering with 500 startups to bring its Distro Dojo program into Cyberjaya. So what is this program? In a sense, you also found out something interesting about a similar program that 500 startups is trying to do in Singapore.
What we found out was that 500 Startups, which is this US-based, you know, seed venture fund and accelerator, had made a pitch to IDA last year. And for some reason, that didn't work out. So then I actually asked, when Magic partnered with them to do something similar, but without the heavy cost involved, because they actually, IDA in Singapore is supposed to actually invest then $20 million Sing dollars into that program. And then whatever reason, they said no. So now you've got, this seemed like a version of that program. And I asked Kylie, is this a version of the program? He said, absolutely not true. So that's that. Like, we just needed to ask that question. But just focusing on the program, why partner with Magic? He said Magic really move fast. you know, to partner with them to do this program. And I think Cheryl Yeo, the CEO of Magic, saw the value in this program. And it's really, what is this program now?
Yeah, Distro Dojo.
Yeah, Distro Cool. There's no kung fu involved or, you know. Yesterday on Bloomberg TV, I think Sophia was talking about Keanu Reeves for some reason. I think she's thinking of Matrix. Maybe she's, you know, kind of got the hots for him still after all these years. Anyway, that aside.
So do I.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah.
All right, man. There you heard, man. Frida's sordid confessions on air.
He did a silly movie called Tai Chi. Tai Chi Man or something. I don't know. It's something silly. But anyway,
and you watched that like 50 times, no. Right? Okay, yes. Admit it. Okay, anyway. So what's going on with this is that Magic, Cheryl sees the value in bringing this program in. This program is another seed venture plus accelerator program. And it's only for companies which are already on the fast growth track, mm-hmm. or have the potential. So for Kylie, a final startup, to come and say, hey, we want to invest in you, you must have already have earned $150,000 from other investors before, which really is about 550,000 ringgit. So it tells you that the company has already got money from other people who are betting on them, and they probably got a bit of traction. And Kylie comes in and says, final startup, we think we can help you go further. Here's the offer, $50,000, of which 25,000 goes back to final startups as fees for the program, because it's a 10-week program, 6 weeks in Cyberjaya, the first 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks virtually. And another 25,000 these companies can use for digital marketing, okay, to grow their, to gain more customers or to gain just more users. So the fact that they're going to spend 6 weeks in Cyberjaya is hugely important for both even Kylie and Cheryl, because they said then these companies will come here. So 100 companies, interesting companies in Southeast Asia or focus on Southeast Asian play, coming to Cyberjaya Magic's, you know, office. It's actually a building office, although Magic now calls it campus, and I cannot bring myself to call it campus because you would think of campus as a spreading place, right, in a university setting. But anyway, they come there and there'll be a lot of encounters with other startups that are based in the Magic building too. And I think Cheryl used the word serendipity, so you'll see very interesting interactions happening, and maybe good will come out of all these guys working or you know, just chatting and talking to each other. So the Magic now is going to start its MAP, you know, Magic Accelerator Program, which is focused on ASEAN startups.
Yeah.
That's starting end of this month, and then you got Kylie's program that is coming in August, and at some point they'll spend 6 weeks there. So you got new startups with these startups who already have traction coming together, working in the same place for 6 weeks. I think a lot of interesting things can happen. And Kylie also says that you want to bring these global mentors down, because he'll be bringing mentors from the Silicon Valley and from the Europe down for this program to coach these companies. He says just bring them to Malaysia and let them experience the vibe and the flavor of Malaysia, and they realize that probably good stuff is going on here. And I know Cheryl also has this competitive streak in us and in her, and she wants to see that Malaysia can close the gap with what Singapore has done. And you know, there's a lot to work with. So this is one of those programs that will benefit. That's an ancillary benefit. Mm. But the real benefit is just bringing them down. You've got aggressive, you know, entrepreneurs, companies moving, yeah. 100 of them over 3 years, lots of interaction that can happen.
We must fight kiasu with kiasu.
Yeah, no, I think there's some merit to that. So,
yeah, of course.
Now, interesting enough, I wrote my week in review, because tomorrow is a public holiday. So my Friday week in review is written today, and that's on the site at noon. I kind of asked, the first question was really about, hey, how much did this program cost? So because Magic uses administration fee, and I said, hey, how much is it costing over 3 years? And they declined to reveal that. And then I was trying to push for it. And then Kylie kind of, it was a conference call between the three of us. And he said, Karam, focusing on this kind of misses the point of the greater good that the program can potentially bring. And I think there's some merits to that too. But then, you know, in Malaysia, we're so sensitized to government agencies, you know, whether they're spending in the right way. So they declined to reveal that. And, you know, money going into bank accounts. So they kind of didn't want to reveal that. And I think there's some merit to Kylie also saying, you don't just kind of just focus and zero in on how much it's going to cost. Look at the potential impact it can have. And yeah. I actually do kind of agree with him.
Yes.
Because Magic already has that budget. It's great. It's allocated to the tech ecosystem. And you've got a CEO that has been appointed from a stringent process. You didn't just pick whoever you could find, right? Let them do the job that they think will help best serve the purpose. And I really hope that Magic helps raises the water levels, because then all boats will rise too, correct?
And the next story, I'm very interested.
Oh,
you
really?
Wrote, you know, this article you wrote 2 weeks ago, and it came out while, you know, we were on air together.
Yes.
Jarring communications, mm-hmm. is anything jarring in that area?
Yeah, I think so. The story was already written early this year, but what nobody did was to question the Ministry of Finance, because the company that ended up buying Jarring, Utusan Print Corp, and its CEO, Nor Halim, gotta look for his full name somewhere here. Nor Hisam Muhammad Noor, were able to buy Jarring for 2 million ringgit. And I know for a fact there were much higher offers. There was even a cash offer for in the 10 million ringgit region. And the CEO of that company told me himself. And yet, MOF turned all these offers down. why did you give it to this company, which is now really, in essence, what we found out has driven Jarring into the ground. So it's in liquidation now, right? A KPMG liquidator has been appointed. And in fact, last week, Norhisam actually challenged the liquidation order. But I just found out that it was on the 8th of July and the court squashed that. So liquidation is ongoing. Expressions of interest have been called by KPMG. And this is an exclusive for your readers, listeners. I hope they're readers of DNA too. That the liquidator will now announce after Raya which companies have won certain parts of Jarring.
Okay.
And I'll be writing a story on that for tomorrow. I won't reveal more, a little bit more interesting details there. But the downside is, the sad side is that Jarring will just become a footnote in the history of the Malaysian internet broadband story as of, you know, some point next week.
There is no criminal offence to this?
No, because you have bought, that's a very spicy question on air, Frida. So really, I've asked Ministry of Finance why they gave this guy, you know, and this company, they sold Jarring to him. They haven't come back to me. I've repeatedly been calling and SMSing one of the executives who I sent my question to, who acknowledged receiving the questions. And I think they need to address that, why they sold it to this company. And I think one of the reasons, just thinking on behalf of MOF, is that Nor Hisham came in and said that he will take over Jarring's debts. Because I've done some digging, previous companies that has been associated with him. He comes in and he says, I will take over the debt of these companies that are struggling. And then for the government agency or for a government agency that's trying to offload the company, that's music to your ears, right? An entrepreneur comes in and wants to take over, assume the debts of the company too. And then you then kind of like don't fulfill, you know, the obligation to your debtors. And then the company winds down and everybody's a loser. In fact, I spoke to a liquidator who's working on another company associated with Nor Hisham being involved also. And while he couldn't comment, he said, you know, Karamjit, I urge you to pursue and write this story because, you know, there are employees, there are suppliers, there are banks, and there are customers, you know, who are affected, you know, when something like this goes on.
Yeah,
so this is a painful story.
Sometimes either we're paying too much or we're paying too little.
Yeah, so that's the Jarring story out there. And watch out for my update tomorrow. I know it's the first day of Raya, but it'll be just a short and sweet, short and bittersweet update.
All right, I will continue with Just Sandhu. Yes. After this, of course, Karam will still be sitting
around. The Punjabi
around
in Shanghai, Bangra time, man.
Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Broking financial mergers. BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu, and Karamjit Singh is still here. I'm trying to get rid of him, but, you know, he wants to sit in as well.
Check it in.
So this is a special report because, you know, Jeff said it's Sandhu in Shanghai, SIS. I said, what about Indian Sandhu in Shanghai? Anyway, go figure. Let's have a listen to what's happening. This is, of course, the Shanghai Mobile World Congress. He's right there.
Thanks, Frida, and I'm sorry, Karam, for taking up your time because I'm here live at the Mobile World Congress Shanghai 2015. And this is all thanks to Visa for bringing me down here. And this is the first of many for me because I've never been to China and I've never been to Mobile World Congress, you know, whether it's in Barcelona. And also, whenever I do interviews, you know, people always say that China is a completely different animal and you really have to be here to fully understand what it means. Things here move very, very quickly. So yesterday was day one of Mobile World Congress Shanghai 2015, and I started my day off by going out and check out what Visa had to show. They demonstrated the connected car commerce, and this is basically a proof of concept solution to demonstrate mobile and online purchases on the go. Yesterday I spoke to Uma about this on the evening edition, and basically this, when I say on the go, it is literally on the go because this is all done within your car itself. So they had a BMW that demonstrated how you could order a pizza while you're heading back home, and you can stop by the nearest Pizza Hut because they've got partnerships with Pizza Hut, and you can stop by and you can just order a pizza while you're driving, and by the time you get to the nearest Pizza Hut restaurant, they would already prepare your food, and straight away you don't even have to get down from your car because there's a beacon that alerts the Pizza Hut and tell that, you know, hey, driver is here. So, you know, all they have to do is just, you know, give you, hand over your pizza, and you're off to back home to enjoy that delicious pizza. So it is very clever with what they're doing. It's not just, you know, having an internet solution and a payment checkout within, you know, there's all these beacons that, you know, allows you to tell you the distance from where you are, from the location and the destination that you're going. So this is still a proof of concept. Now, the reason why it's concept is because now they need automakers to get into this game. You know, people like from BMW, Hyundai, you know, even maybe in Malaysia, even maybe Proton, for example, you never know. Because this is something that will change the game. And I think it's a big feature to have in your car that will change people's perception of maybe a decision of which car to buy, because this is the future that we're living in at the moment. And this is enabled by Visa Checkout. Visa Checkout is the online service that allows consumers to securely store their shipping and payment information without having to re-enter the information when you go online shopping. So this is, again, something that was pretty cool. The BMW was very cool as well, so that's a good sign. And later on, I will be speaking to Greg Story. He's the head of Visa Checkout for Asia Pacific. And I will be talking to him about the whole R&D process of, you know, what drives Visa to come up with this kind of innovations. How are they empowering people to even change? And, you know, because technology can only do so much. Mindset is something that needs to be changed as well. You know, we're very comfortable with, you know, using money, for example. And when online commerce came about, we were very, you know, wary of how we key in our information and how we key in our credit card details and so forth. And hence, you know, there are so many layers of protection these days. You know, you get a PIN number, you get a TAC number, you got to key in 6-digit PIN numbers. There's so many security layers that, you know, it sort of becomes a bit frustrating at the moment. So Visa Checkout tries to do that differently. It tries to make it easier for you. So I'm want to find out from him, where do you draw the line of, you know, being flexible with your security and also at ease with the customer? Because if you have too much security levels, the consumer will be frustrated because you have to go through so many processes. But if you don't have that much of security layers, the consumer might feel like, hang on a minute, this is too easy for me to buy some stuff. What if a hacker is the one behind this computer when I'm buying stuff? So where do you draw the line? How do you make it easy for the consumer yet secure? So I will be speaking to him about that, and that interview will air later when I get back to KL. That is basically part of what I'm doing here. I will be doing a documentary about the future of mobile payments, and everything here today has been mobile. There is smart cities, there is smart cars, there is smart fridges, there is smart robots, there is smart constructions, everything here is smart. And at the heart of this is the mobile phone. And yesterday, I attended two panel sessions, and both of them, at the heart of it, was again the mobile phone. The mobile is really the heart. And I guess, you know, it's a no-brainer because this is, after all, the Mobile World Congress. So everyone here speaks mobile. Some cool stuff that I've seen so far. So I managed to finally try my hand on the Oculus Rift. And I have to say, it is as impressive as I thought it would be. Normally, I get disappointed because I have my hopes up very high because I've been covering about, you know, virtual reality for a very long time. And Oculus Rift is, you know, the daddy of all virtual realities. And I finally managed to try it. And I thought it looked really, really good. It does feel that this is something that is going to come very, very soon to our consumer daily lives. I can see this, you know, being applied to a lot of things besides gaming, you know, besides healthcare. You can do, you know, video conferencing. You can do so many things. Presentations looked really good. So what I experienced was a whole presentation about smart cities and, you know, how GSMA is, you know, showing concepts of what they can do. And later on, I'll be attending a panel session talking about shaping the future of sustainable smart cities. So, you know, the session will focus on increasing demand for smart cities in the Asia-Pacific region. You know, governments are piloting many technologies in order to reduce urban energy and resources and create safer and more sustainable environments. And, you know, as well as preparing for, you know, future population growth. So here they will be, I think they will be discussing about how, you know, smart cities are attracting smart citizens to help drive innovation and, you know, growth in their economies. There's been a lot of talk about smart cities and, you know, smart innovations and, you know, the Internet of Things, basically. Everything here, there are, you know, there are car demonstrations, there are fridges, there are TVs, there are mobile phones. There are robots as well. You know, many of them are all connected to the internet, all connected to your mobile phone. So it is something pretty cool. There will be some stuff that will trickle down to countries like Malaysia and in Singapore. And do stay tuned, because later on in the evening, I will do another live crossover with Uma Pagan of the Evening Edition. And I will be giving him more updates of what happened during the panel discussion, and also just some of the other cool stuff that I've seen here at Mobile World Congress Shanghai 2015, thanks to Visa. And I'll have to leave you at that. Thank you, Frida. And I'm sorry, Karam, again, for taking up your time. Back to you again, Frida. And Karam, chakaday.
Wo bale bale. No problem. We still got 2.5 minutes.
He sounds like he's having too much fun. Come back now.
Yeah. No, but he leaves us hanging. Eh? He talks about all these things. And I think everybody wants to know this one question, okay. Jeff. How did the pizza taste like? For crying out loud.
Okay, so anyway, you can hear yes. that in the evening edition, but also, so evening edition, and you've got something else yeah, to
no,
say?
No, this week on Wednesday, today's Thursday, yesterday morning, I actually met this entrepreneur who left a very cushy job and launched a startup based in the education space. And he actually wanted me to meet his investor. And it was just a fascinating conversation, because this investor really came up from the school of hard knocks. He started working from your McDonald's and fast food joints till he was 20 years old before he had his first proper job in a company. And he just built himself up to eventually, you know, owning a couple of companies and doing very well for himself. And he started then to acquire brick-and-mortar companies that were in trouble, because he found that he gained a lot of satisfaction from helping to grow something and bet on the entrepreneurs. Through no fault of themselves, some entrepreneurs sometimes run into a cash flow problem or whatever, and he goes in, takes over, but he keeps the entrepreneurs there. I'll just give you the liquidity to resume running a business, and I'll bring in some financial discipline. This guy doesn't even have a formal education, huh? and he's done all this. And then what was interesting was that he said, look, I could have then, first time investing in a technology play, internet company, he said, I could have bought another Ferrari, but what for? You know, I said, let me just invest in this internet space, because you read so much about it, and they're looking for another round of funding. And it's just so interesting how the questions he was asking me about what is the mindset of investors in this space, because he doesn't understand it. And I'm thinking, this guy doesn't even have, so I'm putting a lot of weight on the fact that he didn't have a formal education. Doesn't mean you're not smart, right?
Yeah.
But he just
obviously
learned so much.
Not.
Yeah, I know. He obviously not. Yeah, I didn't like the inference there. But he learned. I mean, he's been cheated before as an aspiring entrepreneur. But he doesn't want to repeat the same thing to others, and it's just great. So for the ecosystem out there, you've got guys who traditionally would invest in brick and mortar businesses or even buy another property, are now, you know, putting their money in the internet space, and that's great. And he will obviously talk about this investment with his other peers and friends, and they may start putting in their money into technology plays too. Just amazing conversation. And I was so I walked away there so heartened. I said, you know, in this invisible manner, things are just moving along in where, as long as the tech ecosystem is concerned, you know, he's putting money in where he hasn't before and wanting to learn more. And he admits that this space is a lot harder for him than brick and mortar companies. But it's a challenge for him to learn this new space. And I think his excitement will infect his peer group, maybe, you know, hopefully he doesn't play mahjong with them because he's not from that community. But, you know, whatever he does in his spare time, he'll infect his peer group, and maybe they'll start putting some money and making some bets in the internet space too.
Okay.
Great stuff, man.
Let's wish our Muslim friends Selamat Hari Raya.
Absolutely.
Safe journey if you're driving. Please be careful.
Exactly. And my Indonesian friends will say it's Eid Mubarak.
Okay. Maaf Zahir dan Batin. All right. Karmjit Singh from Digital News Asia and Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Jeff said it for me, Adib. I'll say it again. Chakaday.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.